My title today is Amazing, Abundant, Transforming Grace. Hey, I don't need to say any more, do I? We've been singing about it all morning, but that's the title. And just to tap it into James, we read in James 4, verse 6, this little phrase, just four words, He gives more grace. More grace. Have you had enough? No? Still up for more? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've actually taken a couple of other texts from the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John just to support what James is saying in this little phrase. And my first text is from Colossians 1:19, where we read, For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell. And then John says to us, And of his, Jesus's fullness, we have all received grace for grace. I'd like to start by just taking these two texts to present to you a beautiful little sketch of the plan of salvation. I want you to picture for a moment the sinner, empty of all holiness, of all hope, despairing, and ready to die. And then on the other hand, I want you to see a God who is full of mercy, willing to come and fill the sinner's emptiness, to bring all his godly attributes and communicate them to this fallen man, to dwell in that sinner and give him the mercy that can blot out his sin, and then the holiness that can raise him up from his ruined condition. There is, however, a difficulty. If God can't come as half a God, and if God was to come as the just God to fill the guilt and the emptiness of that fallen man, the flame of his justice would destroy him. It's not possible for even our God, who is a consuming fire, the Bible says, to come in contact with that which is sinful without destroying it. What then? Shall the sinner remain empty and God's fullness remain uncommunicated? Look, there is a plan in the infinite wisdom of God. God has devised it. We can barely fathom it. But the eternal God becomes man, and the divine nature in all its fullness dwells in a mediator. His name, Christ Jesus. Coming into him, he was filled with the burning justice, which caused him almost intolerable agony. But it did not consume him. It caused him to sweat drops of blood in the garden. And it brought him to the cross and to death, because he stood in the sinner's place. But this golden vessel that is Jesus, though he was heated, he was not melted. He contained the fire, but it didn't destroy him. And now, in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in the body of a man. Incredible. Who could have thought of such a thing? Divine wisdom. And even more than that, not only could he receive all the fullness of the Godhead, but as our mediator, he could communicate all the communicable attributes of God to us. We're told he makes us partakers of the divine nature. He doesn't make us God, but he makes the nature of God come into us that we might be the children of God. We couldn't receive it directly, but through Jesus, we can freely receive it, all who believe. And this is the next step. That as the fullness of God has come into Jesus, the person of his Son, so the appeal goes out to all mankind, believe in him and receive of him. Oh. Salvation is not in any way what you bring to Christ. Let that sink in for a moment. It is what you take from him. That's what saves you. We are to be receivers. And before long, through the power of grace, you give out streams of living water to those that you come to meet. In your first coming, you come empty. You have nothing but sin and misery, empty, undeserving sinners, and you receive of his fullness. And then, all your life long, you continue to do the same. How can we live this life of Jesus? By receiving and receiving and receiving and receiving. Grace increases our capacity for grace. I went into the cupboard this week. I had a little glass like that. I had a bigger glass like that. And then I found a glass that my daughter bought for gin, and it's about that big. And I thought, I don't know if I approve of the gin bit, but I liked the big glass. I thought, yeah, I might start like this, but then by God's grace, the capacity for him increases, and I take a little more, and the capacity for grace increases a bit more, and I take more. It enlarges us. It fills us. And as it enlarges us, it fills us again until eventually, grace for grace for grace for grace, I'm ushered into glory to dwell with him forever and ever. Now, I just want to speak for a moment to any of you who so far are unconverted. And I want to say to you this. This is the plan of salvation. It's the only plan. There's no other way. You must obtain God's love and mercy and holiness by receiving it through the mediator, Jesus Christ. He is absolutely unique. There is no one else like him in all the religions of the world, in all the philosophies of the world. There is nobody like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only mediator between God and man. And you must receive God's love and mercy and holiness through him. I want to say this. You should not even think about insulting the person of Jesus by thinking that you have anything in your own right doing that can contribute to what he has done. You have nothing to bring. He invites you to come and to take everything from him. This grace, it's like a fountain coming down this morning from which you may receive. And I want to say to you, please, don't neglect the abundance of God's provision. Don't neglect what God is desiring to give. Don't pass by these riches which are set before you. If you despise the Savior's love, there is nothing else. The writer to the Hebrews says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Some of you, you begin to hear and understand and appreciate something of this offer, but you put it off month after month after month. But I want to say this. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Run to the place where God has purposed you to meet him. Run to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive what he has to offer you today. I want to say, do not distrust what God is putting before you. All fullness dwells in Jesus. And that fullness is meant to be given and to be received as a gift of grace. Believe in this fullness. And empty as you are today, do not despair any longer, because he can meet every possible need. You might come with your head bowed. You might come with grief in your heart. You might come with a full awareness of guilt and shame. But from his fullness, you can receive grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy. Having spoken to those of you who are maybe not yet there yet, I want to turn my attention to most of us as the servants of God. And this is my heart cry this morning. I want us to lay hold of the grace of God. The fullness that is there in terms of holiness and power. That fullness that dwells in our covenant head that we've just been remembering. It's my desire that God in this time would prepare us for seasons of greater growth and success. I'd like us to have a motto. This is the simple motto. Forward and upward. Forward and upward. That's where we're going. And that we might. I've asked 5 questions, and this is my first one. What can we receive? And first of all, I want to say, there is a glorious fullness in Jesus. There's a fullness in relation to purity. If sin is to be overcome, the conquering power is in Jesus. If virtue is to be attained, the sanctifying energy is in Jesus Christ. He has purity to perfection. And he wants to communicate the reality of that to you. In my flesh, I have no power whatsoever. I am emptiness itself. Even Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But on the other hand, there is a power that comes from him. It streams forth from him. And in that power, we're told we can do all things. Wow. All things, Jesus? All things. I wonder if you thought about the wonder of the provision that is made. I often reflect on the parable of the prodigal son. Christ doesn't merely give us just enough bread to keep us from starving. He kills the fatted calf. He prepares a great big feast. He says, come, banquet time, come to me and eat. Feed on me, receive of me. He doesn't just provide enough clothing, just enough to cover our nakedness and protect our modesty. No. He comes to us and he says, here's a glorious robe. Here's a wonderful ring. Here's some beautiful sandals. You're royalty now. Receive of me all the garments of royalty. My righteousness. The capacity to praise. We need to reach out by faith and take it. Garment is past. Yes, yes. I take it. The ring is past. Yes, I receive it. The shoes are given. Yes, I'll wear them. I want to broaden our perspectives a little bit. I want to say this morning. The fullness that dwells in the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient to conquer the whole world. That's spanning it out a little bit, isn't it? But I want us to be a people that don't just think in terms of our own personal consecration to God, but who desire for the glory of God to fully be realized. This is one of my favorite scriptures. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's what I want. Is that our desire? In the light of what Jesus has done? I want to see not just an odd person coming to Christ week after week, or even year after year. Sometimes that is the situation in some places. One person becomes a Christian in a 12-month period, and it's like, yeah, celebration time. Whoa! But I want to see people from every tribe and nation and language coming to a knowledge of the Savior. I'm not content with one. I want to see hundreds and thousands in this town of Chesham flooding into the Savior's arms, coming to receive of this wonderful, amazing grace. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Can the flag of Jesus fly on every coast? Can the reign of the Lord Almighty subdue every nation? I say it can. Hallelujah. My next question is, when can we receive? And what I want to say is, the fullness of Jesus is now. Sometimes we fall into this danger. I've done it myself sometimes. We look at the heroes of the past. I've got this book here. I picked it up this week. 101 World Heroes. It's not a Christian book, but listen to the subtext. Great men and women for an unheroic age. That did something to me. Something in me said, well, yes, you love your heroes of the past, Nick, but where are the heroes today? Who will be a hero for Jesus today? Sometimes this looking at our heroes anesthetizes us. We think, well, that was then, and that was great, and it was wonderful, and we glory in it in some way. But now, are we striding out to try and attain what they attained, to be what they were like? Some of us are focused on the future. I've been guilty of this. I confess that I've had revelations about revivals and great gatherings of souls and so on. And in some ways, they motivated me. But in other ways, they inclined me to think the grace of God in its fullness will come then rather than now. Sometimes we fall into this trap of just being happy in seasons. We think the grace of God sort of ebbs and flows like the tide. And when it comes in, we all have joy and delight and we love to be part of it. But then it goes out again and it's like spring turns to winter and we all go into despondency and despair and do nothing. But Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says. And the highest state of revival should be the normal condition of the church. When the martyrs are most self-sacrificing, when her missionaries are most daring, when the ministers are most bold and the members are most consecrated, she is then even below the standard that is possible. And to come down from that standard is a sin. God grant us grace. Grace to drink. Not an intermittent spring. For the right work of Christ is constant and the King of glory is forever the mediator of God's grace. Today, he wants us to receive. Today. Don't put him off. Today. I've asked, who are we receiving from? And again, I just want to focus on the fact that it's our brother. Our blessed brother, Jesus. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. He's ours. We're his. Do you think he's unwilling to give? Do you think he's holding back from us? God has placed the fullness in Jesus because there is something about Jesus that we should be drawn towards. He empathized with us. He understands us. He's been where we are, though without sin. He is approachable because he loves us. He's the sinner's savior. I don't know if you're like me and you look and you think, actually, have I lost along the way some of the evidences that I am a Christian? Are there areas in my life where I am just so inconsistent? Have I failed in some way to live up to my privileges? We cannot say, we cannot go to him who holds the fullness. We can come to Jesus Christ. For he is the sinner's savior. He is waiting to receive us. Dare I say, that's his office. That's his responsibility. To take guilty sinners, to cleanse them and renew them and reclothe them and set them on their way again in the things he wants them to be doing as the people he wants them to be. Christ delights to give, Paul says, exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've asked, what have we already received? So much. Sometimes I look at others and I think, actually, John, Apostle John, how did you do all the things that you did in your amazing life? And I hear him coming back to me. It was all grace, Nick. It was all grace. And Stephen, you heroic martyr, you, who stood in the face of opposition and felt the stones hit against his body. How did you endure in that situation, Nick? Grace. It was all grace. Christ was with me in that moment. I saw heaven open, the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God. I knew he was with me. Grace abounded towards me. That's how I did it. He was with me. And Paul and Apollos and Cephas. What about you? We took it. Grace. Took it. Grace. And what about our experience? Look back and recollect those joyful beginnings when you first came to know him. How your eyes were open to see the reality of what Jesus had done for you on the cross. Remember how you received his dying love? How you felt when you knew you were forgiven? Whew! Are we going to go off and dig our own cisterns when we've experienced the taste of that? Life, riches, fullness, joy, these are the gifts of grace through Jesus Christ. Are you accepted? He justified you. Have you been kept? He preserved you. Do you know, I remember one occasion going along the motorway. I had a blind spot moment. I didn't see what was behind me. It was a juggernaut, okay? And I'm going down the motorway thinking there's nothing behind me, and I pull into the lane next to him, and I went between the wheels of the juggernaut. So there's the back wheels, there's the front wheels, and there's my car in between them. I came out again and was completely preserved. Grace. I could recount lots of stories like that where God has rescued me, protected me, delivered me. But it's not about me. It's about him, his grace. But what I'm saying is he was already sanctified you. Caused you to be sanctified by the cleansing of this blood. It's all about him. Everything, you can just catalogue it, thing after thing after thing. It's all come to you by grace. What shall we receive? Well, what we've received already, these things are not trifles. They're not small things. But this little phrase in the Greek, grace for grace, it's a superlative. The highest grace, the most amazing grace that it is possible for any man to ever receive. This is the gift of Jesus Christ. It is the highest thing we could conceive of receiving. Listen to this verse. He that did not spare his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Whoa! Let that enter into your hearts this morning. Let that permeate your prayers. If you're tempted to say, no, that cannot happen to me, consider for yourself, if he has given me life, can he not also give me life more abundantly? It can also be translated grace, answering grace. So God gives us grace in a preparatory way to prepare us to receive the next double helping of grace. So he prepares grace as a starter, But that's only a taster. Main course is coming. Then he prepared for us a main course. Hey, up there, save a bit of space. Here comes dessert. There is nothing lacking in him. He can just give and give and give. And grace builds upon grace. Grace speaks to grace. It's like as God works in me by grace, that very grace is speaking to the next dose of grace that's to come. And it's saying, bring it on. There's a beautiful book by John Piper. I didn't even touch it in preparing for this message, but it was one of the most transforming books for me, and it's called Future Grace. And it's like he sees grace coming towards him and him having to be there ready to receive it. Not only is grace answering to grace, in another translation, it's translated grace upon grace. So if you can imagine, grace stands as a mountain, and then as you move on and you receive the next lot of grace, it's so huge compared with the one that is behind, it eclipses it. And then you move on from that, and another mountain falls on you, and that eclipses the one that is behind you. And it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And our capacity with each dose is expanded to receive more. And so, I've said a lot less than I could have said. But this is what I'm getting to. This is the sum of it, if you like. We have a fullness in Christ as believers, which we ought to use in the following manner. Firstly, we should believe great things. Great things. What's that old? There's an old stanza that's coming to me. We are coming to a king. Great petitions with you bring. Believe for great things. Name this town. Name this nation. Name that nation. Claim them for the glory of Jesus. Claim the multitudes, not just the individuals. Claim them for Jesus. Let your faith stretch out to the stars even, and ask and think whatever you will. And he will do abundantly more than you ask or think. That's grace. So I say, believe great things. Secondly, I say, expect great things. Next, I say, attempt great things. And next, I say, come on, let's set about it. Let's not put it off. Let's set about it. As soon as possible, let's set our feet to doing what God has put in our hearts to do. Amen? Amen. Forward. Upward. Hey, bless you all. Amazing grace.